So if I go through something that no one else can tell me about or comfort me in, and I just have to wait for the comfort of God, I can take comfort in others in any case. As I'm going through something, it's possible to me to look on others who haven't suffered what I'm suffering and say, I'll be able to comfort them when this is over. I'll have something new in my armory, so to speak, or in my weaponry or pillory that I can use for the benefit of others. And I've seen this happen, so that gives me a lot of comfort as well, to know that it does work just as it said here. And we suffer things, and as suffering abounds, so does consolation. If you don't suffer and have consolation, then there is simply complacency and contentedness. Now, we ought to be content with such things as we had, but we ought not be complacent. We ought not be not only satisfied, but stagnant, lazy, we go from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. We got to add to our faith knowledge to knowledge, temperance, godliness, and etc. We have to add to ourselves in Christ because we want to see those works of God happening, because it makes us know we're becoming like Him, and we become sure that we are His elect. And He's saying, our hope of you is that we are stable, we are steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the suffering. And so, so what He's saying is, when I see someone go through what I went through, it makes me feel steadfast about them. I mean, they say, I don't think I can make it. And I think, they look just like I did when I was going through it. They're talking just like I did. I know they're going to make it. So I know they've, as I see them partaking of the same suffering, I can say to myself, they're going to partake of the same consolation. And I can try to help them on that path by sharing with them the consolation I did receive, which may be in the form of words of counsel, of wisdom, or simply sympathy. I was going to say sympathetic, but sympathy. We wouldn't have you be ignorant of our trouble. In verse 8, we were pressed out of measure of strength. It came to the point where we despaired of life. We thought things got so hot and heavy that life itself became this burden. Do you want to cast off? This is a moment when you wish you were dead. I've had moments like that, many moments like that, actually. And fairly recently, I recall, where I just laid down and thought, Lord, just let me die. Because I just can't go through with all this. I can't make it. I don't want to go through with it. But then I think of all the people who depend on me, and I think, I've got to go through it. I've got to make it. And God, He picked me up. He showed me the way. And it's not always like getting a shot of, epinephrine or something that's chemical where it's like, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm all right, I'm a hero, and you're suddenly ready to go forth and serve God and all that. But sometimes He gives you just enough that you're able to get over it and get on with what you have to do. I think one time I was in incredible grief over a situation, and I prayed about it very, very much. And then just the idea came to me of what I needed to do to change it. And it didn't instantly change things, but it gave me hope, and I knew what I should do. And that was God's answer to my prayers. He gave me the thoughts that I needed to move forward and to know what to do. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises us to that. Yeah, see, sometimes God makes us in such a strait where we have nothing to turn to but Him. Because, see, when everything is fine, we're sufficient to ourselves. We think, you don't hardly need God at all. You know, you don't hardly need them. And it isn't the guy. I tell you what, and it's not necessarily, you know, like, let's say, well, then we should, to avoid trouble, you should just pray all the time. That can get stale. Anything you do that you try to do is like a stopgap or a band-aid or, you know, or a magic hocus-pocus to try to stave off suffering is foolish. Because, look, here's the Apostle Paul. He gets in these situations. Why do you think you won't get in those situations? Do you think you're more of a Christian than the apostles of the Lord who suffered many things? And I say to you, you cannot be a Christian without suffering. It's part of Christianity, going through suffering and consolation, because you're going to run into other people who do suffer. If you've never suffered in your lives, you need to take a long look. I don't mean necessarily you have to be tortured, but, you know, he's talking about, they were in dire straits. You know, sometimes we have dire straits in our lives, and it's, you know, we live the American life, so it's pretty soft already. But still, hard things come upon people. You know, distress of family, distress of health, distress of, debts and so on and so forth. I mean, it is not without its torment. And at least when you suffer in those things, at least you're getting a taste. I mean, I don't think it's worthy to be compared with the sufferings the apostles went through. I'm saying, but if you're just living the happy, prosperous life, you're not really partaking in Christianity. And if you've got a bank account filled with money, you're really not partaking in Christianity. You should be distributing that money. Because it's my money. I earned it. It's there for my happiness. And their happiness is preserved. But they do not partake of the sufferings of Christ. And therefore, you know, it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. God has given us that we should suffer. If we just believe, we don't have any sort of, you know, everything's just happy and perfect and prosperous. That is, that's a danger sign. How can it be? It goes against the American gospel, which is, you should prosper. God wants us to prosper. But he cares about us prospering in some things more than others. He wants us to prosper in the gospel and in our salvation. He wants us to stand there on that day of judgment as a son of God, justified and righteous. That's what he wants us to prosper in. And if we're prospering in that,